ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Killed with a drug overdose, then cut up and put in a wheelie bin. That is what prosecutors allege Cherie Glastonbury did to her partner, 55-year-old Geoffrey McLean. On the case of the wheelie bin murder, we'll follow the murder trial of Cherie Glastonbury and three co-accused as they defend charges relating to Geoffrey's death. Search for the Case Law podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has been arrested by UK police on suspicion of misconduct in public office.
This all started very dramatically with a line of police cars making their way towards Sandringham.
Authorities are looking into allegations that he shared confidential documents with the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein when he was a British trade envoy.
After spending the day in police custody, the former prince has been photographed leaving a police station in Norfolk. But police say he remains under investigation for misconduct in public office.
It was on the morning of his 66th birthday when police swarmed. Accused of sharing government secrets with Jeffrey Epstein, former Prince Andrew was kept in custody for 10 hours. King Charles has tried to distance the royals from his brother. But how much damage will be done to the brand?
Absolutely shocking. Hopefully the royal family don't try brush this one under the mat because this is really important.
We need to have people in power brought to justice in the same way that those who aren't in power are brought to justice.
It's about time. Yeah, it's about time. It's good. Nobody's above the law.
Today, the ABC's Annabel Crabb on the extraordinary arrest and what comes next. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Annabel, we better paint a picture, first of all. We're at beautiful Sandringham Estate. It's a chilly morning, I'm pretty sure of that. And a convoy of 4x4 vehicles arrives.
Yeah, this seems to have come as a surprise to just about everybody, including the person that this convoy of cars was there to speak with. The Sandringham Estate is in Norfolk. It's a private estate owned by the King. It's kind of infested with farms and properties, and it's to one of these properties that King Charles's younger brother, now known as Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, was relocated recently, and that's where he was on Thursday morning, which was the morning of his 66th birthday.
Yes.
These police officers were there to arrest the former Prince Andrew, and they carried out that arrest. And as it took some time for news to spread through a shocked media and establishment in the United Kingdom, this is a very, very unusual thing to happen.
Incredibly shocking, that's for sure. Now, just to make clear, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has consistently denied any wrongdoing. But oh my, the word unprecedented, Annabel, it's sort of underplays this whole situation, doesn't it? This is extraordinary.
Yeah, it is a really long time since a member of the royal family in Britain has been arrested. And I mean, the easiest precedent is such a long time ago, 1647, when Charles I was arrested and charged with treason, and he was executed in Whitehall. That was pretty bone-shaking for the monarchy. In fact, actually rubbed out the monarchy for a few years. Now, one thing that I think is really fascinating is that it seems to have taken the king and other heirs to the throne by surprise. Mm. This decision by police to arrest and take into custody this member of Britain's premier family does not appear to have been flagged in advance. Both the king and the queen were out at prearranged functions that day and were, of course, subjected to public questioning and asked for responses to this seismic event, of which they had apparently had no notice, and they obviously played a straight bat and didn't respond.
What's your reaction to your brother's arrest, sir?
What an extraordinary day of events.
Yeah. All right. So the police have arrived. They've arrested Andrew, the former prince, on suspicion of misconduct in public office. Now, just to make clear, Annabelle, that is a really serious offence. It can carry up to life in prison. Not suggesting that would apply in this case, but that is the sort of serious crime it is.
Yeah, it's a pretty significant allegation. And it seems that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor was held and then released under investigation while he was in custody. Mm. Police found out over a couple of properties and conducted searches, which they then declared to have been concluded before he was released and headed out of the police station in a vehicle where he was photographed in quite a haunting photograph that went around the world in about 4.2 seconds.
That in itself, that photograph, wow. You know, he's trying to, I think, duck down, right, to avoid being photographed, but that didn't quite work.
Yeah, he looks like a very confused and frightened person who has just had an extraordinary thing happen to him.
King Charles, of course, did issue a statement. He never actually mentions Andrew as his brother in that statement, but he did say the law must take its course.
Now, there has been a statement that's come through from King Charles. He says, I've learned with deep concern the news about Andrew Mountbatten Windsor and suspicion of misconduct in public office. He says they have, that is the police, have the King's full and wholehearted support and cooperation and that the law must take its course.
That statement in itself is pretty, well, it's interesting, it's remarkable.
Yeah, and I think obviously the principal responsibility of the King in this position is to preserve the standing and the reputation of the royal family. There's no mistaking which path he's chosen here. I mean, we have to keep in mind that the charges or the issues on which these police officers were investigating Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, as he is now rather coldly referred to by his elder brother, is about the misuse of public documents or the allegation of misconduct in public office. It's hard to be specific about exactly what incident we're talking about because the police aren't being forthcoming on that. But we know that in the last dump of Epstein-related documents in the United States, you have this sort of treasure trove of evidence of this constant background chatter between Epstein and all sorts of people, including the former Prince Andrew. And that includes some instances where, when Andrew was a trade envoy for the British government, he appears to have shared or referred to sharing confidential documents that he obtained in that role. So that is one area that I think you'd be absolutely safe in assuming that the police are looking at. But one thing that's super interesting here, I reckon, is the involvement of former British Prime Minister Gordon Brown, who's been pushing openly. I mean, he's supplied documents to police looking for a more broad investigation of the other activities for which Mr. Epstein was famous, i.e. the trafficking of girls and young women in his jet across international borders. And that's why you now have a cluster of other police agencies that have confirmed that they are looking into the whole affair, because airports across the UK were on record as having received the jet that was owned by Jeffrey Epstein. He came with company to visit Prince Andrew on a number of occasions, and that's why you have flight logs and other records that are being investigated by other police forces around the UK.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Okay, so just to be clear, the arrest relates to these documents that were allegedly shared with Jeffrey Epstein when then Prince Andrew was the UK's trade envoy. Now, that's a role that he held from 2001 to 2011. But as you say, there's five British police jurisdictions also investigating other matters in relation to these Epstein files. So it seems like there's a long way to go yet.
Yeah, And I think that to honour this principle that's being agreed to publicly by everybody in the UK, which is that it doesn't matter who you are or how influential or famous or wealthy you are, you must face the force of the law. You must be investigated for any allegation of misconduct. I think that now there is a kind of unstoppable momentum for all of these rabbit burrows to be gone down. And look, I mean, the Starmer government is acting against its own as well. I mean, in the UK, Peter Mandelson, who's of course a long-standing, very senior Labour figure dating back to the Blair years, was stripped of his ambassadorship on account of the revelations of his continuing friendship with Epstein. Keir Starmer's own chief of staff, who had counselled for the appointment of Mandelson to that ambassadorial role, was forced out of office. There's been, you know, more kind of high-profile punishment in the political sphere in the UK around the Epstein files than there has been in the political establishment in the US, which is quite an extraordinary phenomenon.
That is quite a contrast, isn't it? Because on a legal front in the US, it appears that almost nothing is happening at the moment, despite many high-profile US citizens being named in these Epstein files. Now, being named doesn't mean you're implicated in any way, but even so, so much more going on in the UK.
Yeah, it's interesting. In the US, it almost seems to have worked on an honour system. I mean, certainly there have been consequences for people in the US, but mainly they are business figures who have resigned or who have been quietly encouraged to step aside because of what the Epstein files revealed about their relationships with Jeffrey Epstein. And that is not because these figures have been exposed as necessarily participating in criminal behaviour. It was more of a tonal and moral question. So in the business world, you've got, you know, Thomas Pritzker, the heir to the Hyatt fortune, Casey Wasserman, the very influential talent agent that had to essentially dissolve his business, Jez Staley, the former chief executive of Barclays, and lots of academics as well, who have been moved out of their positions, essentially because of the tone of their continuing association and correspondence with Jeffrey Epstein. But if you look across the political establishment, really, I mean, Alexandra Costa, who was the prosecutor way back who cut a deal with Epstein, has left office. And that is sort of about it in terms of serving political figures who have lost office because of their relationships with Epstein. And here's where it gets really politically kind of interesting and complicated. The truth is that the current controversy is, of course, all about Donald Trump pledging to release the Epstein files and then in office going rather cold on the idea and then getting whacked over the back of the head by the MAGA movement saying, hang on, buddy, like this is something you promised to do. Let's go. And after a period of resistance, he finally backflipped and endorsed the release of not all of the files, but some redacted, you know, millions of pages. And that's what's still being sifted through. But before Donald Trump was in power, Joe Biden was in power. And he didn't release them either, which is kind of what created this irresistible wave of demand from the MAGA movement. And Democrats in office had exactly the same sort of concerns that Republicans in office had about the release of these files. Democrats were worried about what it would mean for people like Bill Clinton, who was well known to be an associate of Epstein. So I think that what we're really sloshing about in here at the United States is a sense of a class of people above politics, mainly male, wealthy, connected, protecting each other no matter who's in power.
Well, President Trump, He says the arrest of former Prince Andrew is a shame. They're his words.
Well, you know, I'm the expert in a way because I've been totally exonerated. That's very nice. I can actually speak about it very nicely. I think it's a shame. I think it's very sad. I think it's so bad for the royal family. It's a very, very sad to me.
We should again, though, Annabelle, point out that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has not been charged. He's denied any wrongdoing. And of course, he remains innocent until proven guilty. Now, what about Epstein's victims? Virginia Giuffre's brother, Sky Roberts, he actually says he hopes this arrest is the start of a domino effect.
This is where the house of cards starts falling. And, you know, kudos to the UK for taking the first step, for saying, you know what, we are going to arrest somebody who is held to one of the highest esteems out there, somebody who was a former prince.
Look, we're at this phase with this event where, as you absolutely correctly say, this man has not been charged. He's been released after a search of his properties. The nature of the investigation is broad and nonspecific at this point. And I think that right now, the significance of the arrest is almost an artifact in itself, the fact that it's occurred. And I think that is, A, remarkable event, B, a demonstration of the force of public opinion and public frustration about the idea that you have in any democratic society a group of people who can get away with things that other people can't. Now, please don't assume that I'm assuming guilt on the part of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor or anyone. I think the perception that people who have power will sometimes use that power to prevent the straight up investigation of alleged malfeasance on the part of people close to them or on whom they're dependent or whose reputations they want to preserve. That feeling is a very corrosive one in a modern society like we have now, right? Where the politics of grievance can catch fire and assume a destructive force so quickly via social media and electronic communications. And it's so odd that, I mean, in this same week where we're seeing Meta chief Mark Zuckerberg in the dock defending his electronic empire against charges that it's ruining the lives of teenagers, you also have a really powerful demonstration of another aspect of our new online lives, which is even wealthy, powerful people leave a paper trail now because, you know, 50 years ago, rich, powerful men mistreating women, joking about it between themselves, handing women around and all the other allegations that arise from this massive document dump of the Epstein files would have got away with it because it never would have been recorded. It would have been in conversations or telephone calls. And now it's preserved forever in misspelled emails that have surfaced because of an interaction with the law that Jeffrey Epstein had, which caused this extraordinary collapsing effect with anyone who was wont to send him emails.
Annabelle, the arrest of Andrew, it has been described, I've seen, as the worst constitutional crisis for Britain in a century. So this is pretty bad understatement for the royal brand. What do you think? Can it survive this? Can it come out intact?
Well, isn't that what it's trying to do? Mm. I mean, is it a constitutional crisis? On one level, it's massively simple. It's a human being who, about whom its allegations have been made, who's being submitted to the legal process. And I think that is the point of not only this arrest, but the way that it's been executed.
And what about the public's faith in the royal family? Surely this damages it.
Well, I think that what you're seeing from King Charles and his eldest son is a significant and determined attempt to rescue the status of the royal family by, and you've seen this happen in various stages over the last year, by really cutting out Andrew Mountbatten Windsor as a family member, driving him out of the inner circle of the royal family. I mean, what you're seeing here is a royal family that is cutting out a tumorous growth and trying to stop the spread of infection.
Annabel Crabb is an ABC writer and presenter. This is an extra episode from us due to the breaking news. Please find in our feed our other episode from Friday about the search for missing grandmother Nancy Guthrie in the United States. ABC News Daily is produced by Sydney Peed and Cinnamon Nippard. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. We'll be back on Monday. Thanks for listening.